Our next and our last speaker is Commissioner Ed Ellinger, and he's a Commissioner of Health in the state of Minnesota. And in that capacity, he directs the Minnesota Department of Health and directs 1,400 employees and, of course, does his darndest to ensure the health and well-being of the citizens of Minnesota. Commissioner Ellinger is probably familiar to many of you. He really has a national reputation as a public health leader. I'm from Minnesota, and when you say the name Ed Ellinger, you think public health. The respect that he has held in is so very high. Like Dr. Buckley, he has won a bazillion and a half awards, and I'm not going to go through them all, but he does have the distinction of being the first recipient of the Ed Ellinger Award from CityMatch. It's an award given to urban maternal and child health directors, so he has an award named after him, for goodness sakes. Also, I think relevant to this is he's just got so many awards, but from the Minnesota Medical Association, he won the Physician Communicator Award. And it was for that reason we invited him here to talk to you to conclude this session. He's going to talk about his experience and his thoughts about how do you address public concerns about such important things like immunization and newborn screening when emotions sometimes outweigh evidence. So please, if you would welcome Commissioner Ed Ellinger.
Thank you, Wendy. And she invited me because I'm close at hand, and she tries to get back at me for not hiring her once upon a time, right? And it is nice to be here, and it's really nice. As I was listening, I'm a physician who's been working in public health for 30 years, and doing most of the things that the first two presenters talked about, doing surveys and educating. But then when we started getting all of that fascinating immunology, the physician part of me really kicked in and like, wow, this is very, very cool. And it is very cool, but it also highlights some of the issues related to public health is that it's the sexy stuff is really sometimes the medical stuff, the research and the technology, and the not-so-sexy stuff is the general public health stuff. But Dr. Buckley mentioned that the cost of the SCID vaccine, and actually I signed into, or our advisory committee had recommended SCID in Minnesota, and I signed the form saying that we're going to implement that in our newborn screening program, but I waited until after the state shutdown. which is an indication that it is not about economics. It is somewhat about economics, but it's not all about that. And following orders, I do say that I don't have anything to declare, and I won't be talking about off-label medications. But you have to recognize that today is a big day in public health. This is the birthday of Dr. Rue, who announced the development of the diphtheria antitoxin. And a big deal, sort of the biomedical success story of dealing with an infectious disease. But it's also the anniversary of Jacques Plante, first goalie to wear a face mask. So that personal protective equipment is really important in public health. So these are big days, and this is a big day in public health. And it's also a big day because we had these presentations today, I think, that are really quite remarkable in highlighting some of the problems that we're facing. To a couple of big problems, newborn screening and immunizations, and you've heard the presentation, so you know about education and about safety, concerns about safety and about counseling and about screening and some of the controversies with that. So this is a big day. So celebrate the fact. And so we're talking about newborn screening and vaccines, which, after listening to those presentations, it's newborn, it's apple pie and baseball and motherhood, right? It was that way for a long time. But then all of a sudden, we started getting all of these responses. Are we over-vaccinating our kids? And concerns about the safety of vaccine. And And are they still safe? And lots of media attention. Are we getting too many vaccines? Some of our success in developing vaccines is, wow, get, 4, 5, 6 at a time. Are we having too many? And are they still safe? And we're seeing that some of the anti-vaccine lobby are really starting to, or just the concern about vaccine is starting to raise its head, in that parental refusal of vaccines has increased over the last several years. So more and more parents are saying, maybe not the vaccine, or maybe not all of them right now. Can we have a little bit slower schedule? And similarly with newborn screening, the same kind of concern has raised. Certainly, it is a gold mine of information, and there's more to come as we get more technology. But there's, the question, is it an ethical minefield? What are we getting ourselves into? And these are just some of the things that we've seen in our state. Protect baby DNA, stop government ownership and warehousing of baby DNA. Is newborn screening the new genetics? And Sandy Magnin, the Commissioner of Health, just before me, on this little article that Minnesota Commissioner of Health lobbies for intrusive DNA warehouse legislation. It's there. And then, mothers in the hospital given this card, don't prick the heel of my baby for genetic screening. I want to protect my baby's privacy and civil rights. Really starting to, and we're getting an increasing number of that. So why is all this happening? For both vaccines and newborn screening. Well, one of the things about vaccines, we've been very successful. We've been incredibly successful in getting people vaccinated. You can just see some of the vaccines, the take-up of vaccine, and we're really hitting most of the 2010 targets for vaccination. So we've been really incredibly successful, and this is the result of being successful with our immunization campaigns. I've been in a physician long enough, so I have seen some of these cases, but most physicians nowadays have not seen a case of diphtheria or congenital rubella syndrome. And so people are, are these really still there? Are they still issues? We've had tremendous success, preventing disease in 100% of cases in many of these indications. So we've been incredibly successful. And this is just one. When we licensed the HIV vaccine and implemented in Minnesota, you can just see it, when a vaccine comes on board, it drops dramatically, and all of a sudden people don't have to worry about the disease. In my pediatric training, HIV was a huge problem in the intensive care unit, in the ER. It was devastating, and now you don't see it. And so we've been very successful in the vaccination piece. And then in newborn screening, the same kind of thing. We're seeing, we're able to screen over 4 million babies each year. Incredible. And we're seeing we're now over 50 conditions that we can screen for. The Morbidity and Mortality Weekly Report identified newborn screening as one of the 10 great public health achievements. It says improvements in technology and endorsement of a uniform newborn screening panel of diseases have led to earlier life-saving treatment and intervention for at least 3,400 additional newborns each year with selected genetic endocrine disorders. And all of that newborn screening information is allowing us to have a much better understanding of genetic diseases. It's really a gold mine for science, but it also raises some ethical dilemmas. And the success, I think, is highlighted in this picture. These two young ladies have PKU. One was born before screening, one was born after screening. And I think it's pretty dramatic, the kinds of impact that it can have on a family and on individuals. So we've been very successful. And so part of the problem is because of our success, and that's a good thing. And also, there are other reasons. We've been really pushing data privacy and informed consent, and those are very good things. But they also raise some issues, as we start to say, we have to tell you all of the things that could possibly go wrong with a vaccination. So people start to wonder, they're really concerned about that. And the data privacy issues that we really are, think are really important and we really try to protect, but also get picked up by other folks who mistrust what goes on in government. So some of our success and some of our efforts are actually leading to some concerns. And certainly there's this general misunderstanding and mistrust of science. And it could be that so much information is coming so rapidly that people have a hard time understanding it. And that may be leading to some of the mistrust and the myths that arise. These are just some of the myths that I'm sure some of you, most of you have probably heard about vaccines. You know, it's a government conspiracy with Big Pharma. You know, and these things aren't really, they're rare and not very serious, so we don't have, and they're treatable if we get them. The kids get too many shots. There's a relationship between MMR and thimerosal and autism. They're not green. Vaccines are made from aborted babies. All of these things that we sometimes hear about. Just a couple of little cartoons. You know, there's concern about mercury in vaccines. This vaccination business is getting out of control. It's time I did something. I'm going to vaccinate them against mercury. Or I'm putting the bumper sticker opposing mandatory flu shots. Okay, put it above the earth is flat and next to the evolution is a myth. But all of those things, you know, that data privacy and informed consent also are then highlighted by the internet and websites that are unmonitored and YouTube and all of the things, that the information that's out there. And then the media loves the controversy, so they'll pick up on the controversy very quickly. You know, they're always looking for the controversy, even though it might just be one person among the million, they'll go to that one person. And then there are advocacy organizations, special interest groups, and sometimes they're not very large, but they're very vocal. May only be one or two people, but they really seem to get a lot more attention. And they know how to play the media. So what can we do? How do we deal with those individuals? And as the studies have shown, you know, parents are really looked at the healthcare provider as the most influential source. And parents respond well when they feel like they've been listened to, that somebody is paying attention to them and that they're not being belittled and preached to. So we always argue making the case, you know, CASE for vaccination. Cooperate, acknowledge the parents' concern, find something that you can agree on, and then make it personal about you, describe what you've done to build your own knowledge base. Talk about what science says and then explain and advise. For example, in the case of with autism. Yes, you know, there's been lots of attention about autism, and I can see why you're concerned. Autism is a major problem. I can understand that. But I've really looked at, too, I'm concerned about that, and I read a lot about it. I looked at the scientific articles, and really, there's no evidence that links vaccinations with autism. So I'm really asking, suggesting that you vaccinate, because you can't, not getting vaccinated will not prevent autism, but it really will help. But getting protected, getting a vaccine will protect you against, or your child against vaccine-preventable disease. So we can use that on individuals, but I also think we have to use this sort of thing when we're dealing with the legislature, with the same kind of an approach. You know, we hear what you're saying, but this is what, and so I've heard what you're saying, I'm looking into that, this is what the science says, and this is what I recommend. Similarly, there's myths about newborn screening. Whole bunch of it, and you've probably seen all of these myths, Well, if baby's healthy, you address that very nicely, the Gerber baby syndrome, so screening's not necessary. Well, maybe if I delay a little while, I don't want my baby screened right now, maybe later it'll be more accurate. We're losing genetic privacy. The health department is maintaining this big database. Newborn screening gets into a genetic registry that we're going to be able to use down the road. It's used for cloning. The specimens are being sold to foreign countries. One country in particular is, it's new genetics. It's going to be a problem for insurance down the road, and police will track it. I mean, all of these are the things that we have heard in our state, which is a pretty progressive state. So I'm sure those same kinds of things are in your state. So all of these myths. And the same kind of thing, you use that case study, corroborate what people are saying. I hear you. And then personalize it about how you look at it, what the science is, and then advise. But also, we have to talk about this, in this way, continuously. We have to talk about it all the time. Because, first of all, newborn screening is not that well known, so we have to make sure that people know what we're talking about. And we talk about it openly and share information, what we know and what we don't know. And we have to be patient, because people come. This is a very emotional topic, both vaccinations and newborn screening. So we have to be compassionate about how we're doing and not blaming, and be honest and do it as much as we can, talk about it as much as we can. And so these are some of the messages that we're saying at the Minnesota Department of Health, because we're asking, people are saying, we want to change your screening program for newborns to opt in as opposed to opt out. And it's one of the big pushes. Well, we should have the right to opt in as opposed to opt out. And so we start saying, if we change the program from an opt out to an opt in, We believe there would be 3 or 4 babies a year who would suffer late diagnosis of a newborn screening disorder, which would result in severe disability, reduced life expectancy, or death. That's why we fight so hard to protect the newborn screening program. And we at the Minnesota Department of Health are public health and privacy advocates. We strive to protect the privacy of babies and parents. We also respect parental autonomy, all the while protecting the health of newborns. Consistent, you know, have to acknowledge that we do as the best we can with data privacy, parental autonomy, and we have to argue for the health of infants. So, you know, again, a little bit more, how do we get there? Certainly the data privacy, the informed consent, mistrust, but there's a bigger issue that I think is behind all of this, and it's not just with newborn screening and vaccination. It's this whole push about the primacy of the rights of the individual. It's all about the individual, and it spills over into all of public health, and parental autonomy is part of that. And it's also along with the distrust of government, and the change in the political climate in our society gives the people who are opposed to vaccination and opposed to newborn screening a new audience of people who really want government to be smaller, really are anti-public health in their approach. So the current political situation is ripe and fertile ground for anti-vaccine advocates and anti-newborn screening advocates. And certainly from my perspective, really what it is, and something that I think we as public health professionals have to recognize, is that really it is an attack on public health. Because I think there's really a lack of understanding and a lack of acceptance of the principles of public health. And these are some of the principles that I look at in terms of what I see as public health. And people are opposing these kinds of things, or they're not buying into this kinds of thing because of a new political philosophy. You know, we're science-based. We're not based on anecdotes. But anecdotes are so powerful. And people who want to hear what they want to hear will hear what they want to hear. And so it's based on anecdotes. And those stories are there. So we have to have our own stories, have to have the science and the stories. I tell there's a Hasidic tale, which I won't tell now, about truth and story. The naked truth is not really acceptable, but if you wrap truth in a story, you really get it out there. So we have to have the stories that go around the truth. We focus on populations. This is not about individuals, and it's about community. We're in this together. The context is the community. And people don't understand that the health of the community impacts their own personal health, that individuals are healthy because of the community. Community is a really important thing. So vaccinations and newborn screening to improve the health of the community actually helps them at all levels of the socioeconomic scale and educational scale. And that there's an individual and a societal responsibility where we have to provide some basic infrastructure in the public sector, but also individuals have some responsibility to society as individuals, and that getting immunized in particular has an impact on the rest of the community. It's an interdisciplinary, multidisciplinary, collaborative kind of approach. And in order to do the screenings, in order to do the vaccinations, the immunizations, we have to have a network of folks who are really working collaboratively to make it happen. And so we do need to share some information to make that happen. And people are really uncomfortable with that kind of data sharing. Certainly the disease prevention, health promotion. We argue in our state the only way we're going to reduce healthcare costs is to do the prevention. And vaccinations and newborn screening are classic examples of how doing prevention really will help save costs down the road. And certainly one of the public health principles of social or long-term responsibility, you know, we're in it not just for the short term, not just the treatment kind of thing. We say, how is this going to impact down the road? I love the picture of the PKU babies, you know, getting married, having a healthy life, going to school, graduating. Never could have done that before. And social responsibility. We're supposed to use our dollars most effectively. The cost effectiveness of vaccinations, the cost effectiveness of newborn screening is incredible. That's where we need to put our dollars. The only thing in our healthcare system, you know, that really saves money are some of the early interventions and primary care, and yet we spend all of our money on a lot of the treatment things down the road. We need to start recognizing that really the public dollars need to go into places where it does the most good. That's the socially responsible thing to do. You know, and social justice is one of the things for public health. That means everybody gets their basic needs met and nobody benefits at the expense of somebody else. And that certainly is true in vaccinations. You know, we want everybody to be able to be protected against things that we know we can protect people about. And no one should benefit at the expense of somebody else. If you don't get immunized, you're going to really threaten the rest of the population. And the study that just came out from Mike Osterholm that says flu vaccines are only 59% effective, what that means is that means even more so we need to make the case for vaccination because of the herd immunity. When the vaccines are not as effective as we thought they were, that means more people really need to get immunized as opposed to don't get immunized. It's just the opposite of that. So it is a social responsibility kind of thing. So how should we address the public health concerns or address the public concerns about vaccination and newborn screening? And I really think that this is just the tip of the iceberg for all public health problems when it's a very emotional thing. We need to continue to be focused on the public health values and principles. We need to educate the public about what is public health. What is the health of the community? How does the health of the community affect me? And how does my health and the health of my family affect the rest of my neighbors? Because we're all in this together. And we have to continue to really focus on what our mission is to protect and improve the health of all members of our community. So our bottom line at the Minnesota Department of Health is that we want the best for each child and all children. That's why we recommend vaccinations and newborn screening and support of all public health activities. Thanks.